The unpleasant truth is that you don't have anything. Your customers cannot be depended on anymore. Now, that's a bit of a shocking statement. And it's actually a quote from something that I'm going to share with you today. I'm also going to share with you the context of that quote and also how you can avoid being in this really unfortunate situation. My name is Paul Castain from Castain Training Systems, and I'm the author of the YourSalesPlaybook.com blog and your host for the Sales Playbook Podcast. I've personally trained over 20,000 sales reps, sales leaders, and business owners to sell more. So get your playbooks ready because school is now in session. So there's this old episode of Mad Men when Don Draper and his team, they're pitching Rachel Macon and her father, Rachel Mencken. You remember, like, Mencken's department store, if you followed the series. And they're pitching this elaborate plan to shut down the store for 3 months, rebuild everything, totally redo the entranceway and the displays and the offerings, put in a restaurant, and Rachel Mencken's father says something. He basically asks him, well, can I just keep what I have and build on it? And that's when Don Draper, like, you know, Mr. Slick salesman, says, honestly, the unpleasant truth is that you don't have anything. Your customers cannot be depended on anymore. And this really hit home for me in many ways. And I'm going to share why and how in a second. But I want to start by saying that sooner or later, believe it or not, and once we get past kind of the shock value of the statement, because it is kind of a ballsy statement to make, and we'd like to think that that has nothing to do with us, but I actually think it has to do with every one of us. Sooner or later, this is going to happen with a percentage of our clients. Why? Because needs change. Our clients' taste, it changes. Financial situations change. The economy changes. Technology changes. In fact, you know, not to like go quoting every movie under the sun, but there was an old movie with Danny DeVito in it. I don't know if you guys are Danny DeVito fans. I know I am. And he was in this movie, I believe it was called Other People's Money. And he was basically trying to make the point of how this one company that he was looking to buy was antiquated and they really needed to like be modernized. And he talked about the companies at one point that made buggy whips for horses and buggies. And he talked about how little by little, the market share kind of shrunk. Or not the market share, the customer need shrunk because there was an invention of something called what? The automobile. And he like went on to say, you know, I bet that last company that was out there made the best damn buggy whip ever. But there was no need for it. And that's what can happen with us with technology. But also, I mean, I hate to say this, but like, you know, we're kind of having just a real honest, straight talk, but sometimes a customer's love for you and their love for your company could change. Now, that Don Draper quote also hit the nail on the head for me, because this is actually how I lost my first business. There was too much emphasis, then, you know, that first business being back way back in 1995, I was putting too much emphasis on my existing customers because they were paying the bills. I could depend on them. They were, you know, it was just, and also too, I mean, isn't it a lot easier like to just deal with people that you know love you, right? They love you. They buy from you regularly. And rather than pick up the phone and just like call that unknown person that might be kind of nasty to you when you call up, I mean, it's a little bit different begging for something or feeling like you're begging for something versus just simply carrying on with the people that you've had this relationship with. But so again, I had so much of an emphasis on the existing clients that I wasn't thinking about the fact that their taste could change and circumstances could change. And I had a number of things happen to me that was just, I mean, the best way to describe it, quite frankly, was shit luck. And what happened was I had, what was it? I think it was two or three major companies, including DuPont. And DuPont alone for me, of my book of business, was almost 50% of my business. One day, they turned to me and they said, listen, we love you, Paul. It's not you, it's us. We've got to pull out of Long Island. They used to have a facility for the product managers out in Garden City, Long Island. We've got to pull out. They want us down in, Wilmington, Delaware. And, you know, my response at the time was, hey, no problem. I can service you from here. And they were like, no, they want local vendors. So that was about $1 million hit for me of about a $2 million, $2.3, $2.5 million book of business. That was a major hit for me. I had the very same thing happen within months of that from a Canadian organization. Then I had three companies that I never would have thought this would have happened, but just defaulted on what they owed me, and they just screwed me out of the money. And I was a broker, and when you're a broker and you borrow basically from another company, they give you credit, you can't go back to them and say, hey, I'm really sorry, I can't pay you, I wasn't paid. No, they want their money. So there was a number of things that happened there that ended up by seriously just like putting me out of business. Why? Because I depended on them too much. And I wish we lived in a world where we could just get our business and stop prospecting and we're good to go. But things do change. Sometimes it's going to be an honest mistake that you make and that's going to do it and they're done with you. Other times it's going to be, like I said before, it's going to be shit luck. It's going to be the economy. It's going to be technology. It's going to be their taste changing. It's going to be any number of things. So if you're not prepared with other things that are out there that you're working on to eventually become your clients, I think it could really screw you over like it did for me. Now, I've also experienced it within the business that I own today. And there was actually a time when I could depend on the business from my blog. Business coming in, new opportunities coming in from my blog. My blog traffic isn't what it used to be. The amount of leads that I generate from there isn't what it used to be. It used to be a time that I could depend upon this podcast to give me a great amount of leads. I can't do that anymore. Now, I want to be very clear. That's not to say, okay, that's your fault. You guys aren't buying. You should be buying. It's to illustrate that something that was once your cash cow can dry up on you. Now, is that to say that podcasting is like a fruitless effort? Well, no, otherwise I wouldn't be doing this podcast today. Is this to say that blogging is no longer, you know, an effort that is going to give you a return on investment? No, otherwise I wouldn't be blogging anymore. But my point is that if I only depended on that blog, I would be starving right now. If I only depended on this podcast, I would be starving right now. So what does this all mean, right? What are all these little crazy examples, and I'm telling you things about the blog and telling you things about the podcast. What does it all mean? It means that we not only have to prospect regularly and consistently, we need to never depend on any one form of outreach. So far, what we've said is, number one, don't depend on your clients as like to always be there. I don't think that's a bad philosophy to have. That's not disrespectful of your clients. And by the way, if you're a client of mine, I'm not dissing you. I'm not saying, hey, I can't depend on you. But if I depend too much on you and I say, I'm good, I don't need to prospect anymore. I'm going to just depend on this great business that I've built. And, you know, the fact that you guys keep coming back, sooner or later, I could really get hurt doing that. That's really not a good way to run a business. It's not really a good way for a sales rep to conduct their business as well. But the other thing, too, the other lesson that we have in here is that we said also that, yeah, we have to like prospect regularly and consistently, but again, you can't like we need to never depend on any one form of outreach. Now, I want to just talk a little bit about that. There was a time when the phone, right? Prospecting, cold calling was the thing. Now, it's like hardly anyone answers the phone. Now, do we rule it out? No. Just don't depend on it solely. I know people who would say the same thing about every form of outreach that are out there. I know people, when I talk to them, they tell me this about traditional networking, or they tell me this about trade shows. I know one of my coaching clients in particular, there was a time, and this is why he came to me. He said, there was a time when I just went to trade shows, man. I'd have more than I knew what to do with. Now, not so much. I know other people who, when I first met them, when I first started doing like all this like LinkedIn stuff back in 2008, I know people who that was it for them. They did nothing else. They never picked up a phone. They like hardly ever sent emails out. They weren't at all about like sending anything through the mail. And they could depend on LinkedIn or traditional networking to bring home the bacon. Some of them, it's not so much anymore. Again, want to be very, very clear. Not once am I saying the phone sucks, don't do it. Not once am I saying LinkedIn sucks, don't do it. I'm not saying trade shows suck, don't do them. I'm saying that if you ever have something that you're putting all the eggs in that basket, you're running the risk of like kind of being the center of that whole discussion that we were talking about, where, you know, Don Draper said, honestly, the unpleasant truth is that you don't have anything. Your customers can no longer be depended upon. And in this context, it would be the forms of outreach that you're using can no longer be depended on. So what do we do? I mean, this kind of sounds grim. So I really believe that success can be tallied by the sum total of all of our outreach, not just one. And the mistake I think a lot of us make in sales, and every time we have group discussions over in my sales playbook communities, when I talk to my clients and we just kind of have a roundtable discussion, many times people will like talk about prospecting with language that says, well, I prefer the phone, or I really like LinkedIn. And you guys have heard me say it before, and you know, earmuffs, kids, like, who really gives a shit what you like, right? It's never been about you. It's never been about what you prefer or what you think is the best. It's really about the recipient. And because everybody's different, we need to have a well-balanced mix. But I will say this, though. I think it's very important that we not only have a well-balanced mix, and when I talk about this well-balanced mix, I mean the average salesperson only has the phone and email. And meanwhile, we have never had more forms of outreach than we do today with technology. Between like everything with social networks and social media and content, we have so many different ways to add to it. It just, I mean, to me, it's silly just to embrace one or two things that are out there. So I think it's very important that we have that type of mix, because again, everyone is going to be different. Yes, there'll be some trends and there'll be some things that change up. But my point that I wanted to make, and I kind of went off on a little tangent, I'm sorry, because quite frankly, I forgot what the hell I was going to say, but now I remember it. The, you know, what can happen is that there are going to be things that give you a greater return on your time investment. So my rule of thumb is this. I don't rule things out that continue to bring home the bacon for me. But what I will do, and I'm relentless about it, is I look at my time that I have to prospect as like this pie chart. And if, like, let's just say if like podcasting is giving me a hell of a return, I'm gonna give it a big, juicy, fat ass piece of that pie. If it's something that's not giving me much, well, it gets a little sliver. If the phone is getting me the most, it gets the biggest piece on that pie chart. If it's not, it gets a sliver. Never will I rule anything out altogether, because my experience has been that it's actually it's the sum total of all those pieces in the pie that like really are going to like win the deal for me. Because I'm a big advocate of that concept that you've heard me talk about called propinquity, where we are continually bumping into people and we're creating a good vibe with them and we're creating familiarity. And for those of you who haven't like heard me say the definition of propinquity probably about 800 times now on this webinar, because it's like the one word that I actually ever looked up, I think, in the dictionary. It's like nearness and closeness and kinship. And my spin on that, it's not in the Merriam-Webster dictionary version of the definition, but I really feel that it's accomplished by bumping into people in multiple places, very much the same way that you would someone like a neighbor, for example. And I always give the example of, you know, one of those neighbors that you don't know too well, but it's kind of like a wave at the fence neighbor. But then what happens? You're out walking the dogs or you're out for a walk and you bump into the neighbor. So maybe what you do is, like if you're into Larry David, you do a quick stop and chat. And you say, hi, hi, you know, how's everything going? Lovely weather, blah, blah, blah. You chit chat and you're on your way. But then, I don't know, it could be a few weeks later, you bump into them at a local restaurant or at the movie theater or, like, you know, like this time of year out where I'm from, you have tree lightings and ice skating and things like that. So each time you bump into them, so long as it isn't weird and there's like a quality interaction, we are establishing that propinquity. And that's why I think it's so important to have different forms that like of outreach. Because, again, because of their preference, but also because they're in different places. They're not just hanging out by their phone. So we need to have these different forms of outreach, and we need to be doing it regularly. Because if we don't, well, then we're just depending on our clients. And this, like many of you know, I come from the printing industry, and this is something that burned a ton of sales reps back when the economy turned for the worse back in 2009. A lot of sales reps that had been in the printing industry for decades, they were done. They were done because they just didn't know how to prospect anymore, and they weren't willing to go out and hunt for new business. So what happened? They were depending on their clients who could no longer be depended on for, in this case, like it was, actually there was two things. It was a 1-2 punch because you had technology changing, but you also had the economy changing, so people didn't have the budgets. So we want to always be prepared, and we never, ever, ever want to depend on like our customers. We certainly don't want to depend on any one form of hunting and prospecting. So my message is simple. Don't depend on your clients to always be there. Things are going to change. I'm sure you'll agree. I'm not saying every one of your clients is going to pick up tomorrow and you know, they're like imbeciles that can't be depended on. Like, I don't mean it that way. I mean, things are going to change. A percentage of them are, you know, there's going to be churn. We also have to get prospecting on the calendar, and we have to do it regularly. And we have to be relentless about it. And what do I mean by that? I mean to schedule it in the same spirit that you would a client meeting or a prospect meeting. You would not blow that off for just like for the heck of it because something else came up. And if, heaven forbid, you had to cancel that meeting, you wouldn't just say, okay, well, that's it, then I can't do it for another 2 weeks. No, you would try to reschedule it. And you owe that to yourself. But also, you need to mix up the forms of outreach so that you never depend on just one. So here's my question to you. And before I tell you what it is and before you answer it, you need to do a favor. You need to do me a favor and ask your ego to leave the room so that you can answer this question honestly. And I want you to be really straight up, painfully effing honest with me. Seriously, I really do want you to do this. You ready? Could you use some help in changing it up and having multiple forms of outreach? You know, like as in beyond, just like cold calling and beyond email, like every other sales rep is doing. You realize you're not going to stand out that way. You're going to blend in with what everybody else is doing. So if you really feel that you can use some help, I have a little incentive for you that is about to go away. So it is really important that this is one you can't put off. Like you can't procrastinate. Like you seriously have to like pull a car over and take this action step. So if you could use some help, I want you to join us in January. Now you may be thinking, oh, that's plenty of time. I could just blow this off. No, hear me out. Join us for, we have a new program called Rockstar Academy. And it's going to begin on January 10th. And what's really cool about this is that many of you, forgive me for being blunt, you give the excuse of, I don't have the time to do this. And I think that is the worst excuse in the world, because you know that you have to get better at this. You know that you need more forms of outreach. You know that you need to make the time. So I've made it easy for you guys. Every one of these sessions that I'm going to have in Rockstar Academy is going to be pre-recorded. I'm going to send them out to you once a week. Go at your own pace. You don't have to like show up for class at a certain time. You don't have to have this on your calendar and then it gets in the way of servicing your accounts or prospecting or applying the things or whatever. But I'm going to include 150 tactics, dozens of templates that are all ready for you, from prospecting to things to say when you're in front of a potential client. We're also going to have ebooks that I'm going to be including in this, worksheets, assignments. And if you enroll by tomorrow, which is December 10th at 12 p.m. Eastern time, you're going to save $300 on the program. And just to let you know, a lot of the time when you hear that you're going to save $300 on the program, you're like then you look at the price and it's something like $1,700 or it's like $1,500. And you're like, hey, you know, like that's really cool and everything. But like, you know, this is a lot of money for me to lay out at the holidays. This is reasonable. You're going to save $300 and it's only going to set you back $499. And P.S., there's 13 modules to this. So if you break it down per module, which I'm not going to do because like I'm an idiot with math, so I'm not going to be able to figure it out. Then you're going to like lose all hope in me for training you. But seriously, I mean, it's going to come out to like nothing. So if you need some help in getting in front of more, well, actually, there's three things that this course is going to do. It's going to help you get in front of more opportunities, help you to take better control of these opportunities, and then get more of these opportunities across the finish line. So kind of like, how do we get in front of more things, take better control, but then like let's close more of these deals too. So this way, we're never, ever, 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 ever depending on our clients exclusively. We're no longer going to depend on just the phone or email or whatever it is you prefer to do. I'm going to open your eyes to several other options. Like I said, 150 tactics that are going to be shared. So if you want to save the $300 and get this particular course for $499 instead of $799, I would strongly advise that you stop right now, whatever you're doing, and visit yoursalesplaybook.com/rockstar, all one word, lowercase, yoursalesplaybook.com/rockstar. And with that, I'm Paul Castain from yoursalesplaybook.com, wishing you an incredible week ahead. Go get them.